The smash hit comedy by Joshua Harmon, Bad Jews, is running at the George Street Playhouse through April 9th, once called by the New York Times the best comedy of the season, making its New Jersey premiere at GSP. And joining us are two of the stars of the show, Alex Silverblatt, who plays Liam Haber, and Amos Vanderpoel, who plays Jonah Haber, the younger brother of Liam. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Hello. How you doing?
Nice to see you both. So let's start with you, Alec. You are considered the bad Jew in Bad Jews. Why are you so bad?
Well, in the script, it said that on Passover, I offered my cousin Daphna, who is quite Jewish, a shortbread cookie. And obviously on Passover, you can't have anything that is leavened. You have to have unleavened bread. You have to eat matzah. And so my response to her when she calls me out on it is, I'm a bad Jew.
Now, one of the things that happens in Bad Jews is a big dispute over who should get the grandfather who just passed away his high necklace, which is a family heirloom. Alec, why don't you tell us the synopsis of the show?
Sure. Like you said, we sort of meet everyone the evening of our grandfather of Poppy's funeral. We're in our parents' like spare studio apartment on the Upper West Side, and Daphna, Liam, and Jonah's cousin, she really wants Poppy's high necklace, which is a religious heirloom that he's carried with him for quite some time, and has a lot of weight to it, emotional weight and religious weight. And I want it because I want to propose to my girlfriend Melody with it. When Poppy first came to America, he didn't have any money, so he used the high necklace to propose to his wife. So I want to continue in that tradition of proposing to my girlfriend like that, because it's such a great romantic story. Daphna is not having it. She just wants it because she's religious and she wants to carry on the Jewish faith and the Jewish tradition, and then all heck breaks loose.
Amos, as the younger brother of Liam in this show, you play Jonah. What's your role to try to sort this all out between these two that are they're really not the most likable characters?
No. Well, they're not likable, but they are right. They have points that they make, good points, but they're also very wrong in the way they go about making them. My character more so acts as a foil, I believe, in terms of their two characters and what they want and how they're going to go about getting it. Jonah likes to stay out of trouble. He does not want to get involved. He doesn't want to fuel the fire. But in doing so, he ends up throwing, a whole bunch of gasoline on the fire that's already burning.
One of the real questions that comes up that there have been many productions of this show, obviously, since it was in New York. Is there such a bad Jew, good Jew? Is that really, a reality?
That's a great question. I think it speaks more to is there such a thing as a good Christian or a bad Christian or a good Muslim or a good Hindu or a bad Hindu? You could make the argument. I think Liam would make the argument that all this stuff, it doesn't matter. It doesn't all, we're putting labels on something, when we're all just trying to be good people and trying to live in the world and not hurt too many people as we go along. That doesn't answer the question, but it expands it out.
Yeah. Also, I think a lot of the substance in the play deals with what faith means to the current generations, and how that differs from people who grew up, baby boomers or, their parents who, survivors of the Holocaust. What how the younger generations, what faith means to them and how they go about displaying that, you know, whether that's doing community service or in Liam's case, you know, not honoring tradition, you know, what does it mean to them? And does that make people bad Jews? You know, Daphna's point of view in the play is very, it's drastically different. She's very much about, she wants to keep the traditions. She wants to keep everything and preserve it. And, you know, I know people who are not bad Jews, but they have Liam's point of view. They don't really, it doesn't mean as much to them.
I think you both make terrific points, because what you said, Alec, is, and this show isn't for just Jewish people to come watch. You can be of any religion and it really fits, because it talks about that heirloom could be something else. It could be, you know, as you say, Muslim, Christian, and it's how we look at faith these days, which is really under, you know, the microscope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So right now we're talking to the stars of Bad Jews. Joshua Harmon's play is directed by Jessica Stone in this production at the George Street Playhouse, and it runs through April 9th. The cast also consists of two ladies, as we know. We
yes.
already heard Melody's a character, and also the main character in the show, Daphna. Tell us about these two wonderful ladies that you're working with.
So Daphna is played by the lovely Laura Lapidus, and Melody, Liam's girlfriend, is portrayed by Maddie Jo Landers. Daphna is our cousin, Jonah and Liam's cousin, and she's always at odds with Liam ever since we were young kids. And like, you know, like you said, Alec, she wants the high, and at what lengths she's going to go to get it and make sure that it's hers. Whereas Melody comes into the apartment almost without much notice for Daphna. She comes in, they come back from a trip that they were on in Aspen, and she gets stuck in the middle of this battle between the two of them. And Maddie and Laura have just been great. They are phenomenal actresses, very smart. Just wonderful.
Let's talk a little bit about the direction. Jessica Stone has the work for this one. Joshua Harmon has been given a lot of credit for his dialogue and the amazing writing that's in this play, and many people have called it one of the funniest works they have ever seen. However, it pushes us beyond our comfort zones a lot. So, Alec, tell us about that. As the actor and as the audience, some people might cringe, but they're laughing as well.
It's a new play. It was written very recently, and it was written by a young guy, and because of that, the language is at times, you know, inappropriate. But it's all fun. It's all exciting, it's always fun to watch people get angry. You know, whether it's your uncle at Thanksgiving or at Passover or whatever, or people on stage. You know, there's a long, long history of people laughing at people getting very, very angry and saying things that maybe later they'll regret saying. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of what the play is, and then the dialogue itself.
There's even some uncomfortable laughter that certain moments in the play, you know, yield from the audience.
So how do you feed off that, Amos?
Well, you know, you focus up and you ride the wave of whatever happens. But, you know, the most important thing that we've developed or that we've learned throughout the process is play the problem, and, you know, and the audience they'll follow.
We're speaking with Amos Vanderpoel and Alec Silverblatt, two of the stars of Bad Jews, running through April 9th at the George Street Playhouse. You know, it's always fascinated me how families separate themselves when a loved one has died. And even if they've had a good relationship, money or heirlooms separates us. I've never quite understood that. You know, my parents would say, you know, when we're gone, we want you to have this. And I said, you know, you've given me so much in life. I don't really want anything from you in death. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is a puzzling thing. You know, I'm not sure of why it has such a huge impact on, especially in characters in this play, who are very well-to-do. They're, you know, money is not really an issue. It's brought up very early on, but it's not really an issue. So that is an interesting thing. That it's an interesting question as to why it affects, you know. But then you have, you know, people making arguments in the play as far as it's not about the money, but, you know, it is definitely something that is relevant. It's there. I'm not quite sure.
I think, in terms of just heirlooms and then this in particular, the chai or something like that. Yeah. I think it has a lot of value in terms of tradition and in terms of identity. And you know, we had a woman on the first preview in our talk about how she, you know, in her will, she's giving all of her, you know, Jewish jewelry things to her granddaughters, because to her, if her granddaughters have it, then they'll always be Jewish. They'll always, because they, you know, the Judaism is passed through the mother. That's what, mm-hmm. you know, rabbis say and all that. And so I think that's a big deal for a lot of people is, passing on tradition and identity and history of their families.
It's also interesting when you're talking about identities and religion. I just had one of the actors in from a play at Luna Stage. It was called Indian Head. And one of the stars of the show is Native American. And she didn't find out until her late 20s that she actually had Seneca Mohawk blood in her. And her father actually apologized for letting her know that she was Native American. She has since, you know, embraced from the very time she found out her real identity. People nowadays sometimes do have to hide their real feelings and beliefs in order to get through the average day. They might be criticized. They might be looked at differently.
Yeah.
So how does this play help us with that?
I think the way that it helps us is that it brings the conversation forward.
Yeah.
It gives people, you know, that's what theater is for everyone to go to the theater, whether you're alone or with your family or with your loved one or, you know, your best friend or whatever. And you can sit there and you can feel that maybe you're not the only one who has these thoughts or these fears or something like that, because you're seeing it on stage or you're seeing mm-hmm. it with someone laughing next to you.
Yeah.
And then it sparks conversation. At least hopefully it will.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to, but
at the same time, you can also see how, even in the context of a safe space where people can witness witness something that brings about a conversation, you still can see how uncomfortable it is to have this conversation, even amongst imaginary characters. So that's another thing that, you know, especially in today's world, where there's lots of problems going on in the world right now in relation to things brought up in this play, you can see how unwilling a lot of people are to talk about this.
For both of you, this is your first time at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick. For you, Amos, what's it been like working with Jessica Stone?
She's been great. The whole team is fantastic. Jessica's, you know, she's a veteran actress and director. She's got a great eye for comedy, for timing, and she's almost like a conductor in a lot of ways for how she wants the dialogue to flow, the rhythms that each character's in, and, you know, how it clashes and works together with the other characters. And she's done a great job at orchestrating this play.
She did an amazing job with a funny thing happened on the way to the forum that I saw recently at Two River Theater. She was incredible, what the production that they put together. For you, Alec, how has she made you a better actor?
Oh, man. For sure she's pushed. I mean, any good director pushes you to do stuff that you wouldn't normally do, like break habits or that sort of thing. And so she's pushed me to just be incredibly specific and to really dive into the points that I'm making in the text and sort of go beyond just like feeling it. You know what I mean? It's like it's more of a craft. And getting to work like that has just been just really nice. And in such a great environment at George Street and with great actors to play opposite with. And a good team to watch. That's definitely been a real privilege.
Both of you have Bachelor of Fine Arts. For you, Alex Silverblatt at University of Cincinnati, and for you, Amos Vanderpoel, Syracuse. You've worked at many theater companies. So working with George Strait now, and really this is a show that really has to have an audience reaction, as you've been talking about. So what has it been like to be at GSP?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, from the day we started, the second we started, we had the read-through and we had some table work, but then it was, and this is another great thing about Jessica, she just said, let's get on our feet and just start doing it. Get it in your body and, you know, see what you find from there on out. So, you know, we only had about 3 weeks worth of time that we were able to rehearse until we started previews. But, coming down to the wire in the last few days before previews, we were really, really yearning for an audience. And now that we've had it for the past two nights, it's been wonderful. You find a lot of points in the play that, you know, you kind of skimmed over, or not skimmed over, but, you know, you didn't get that reaction that it elicits. And then with the audience the past 2 days, we've found a lot of things that have come up.
Alec, I know you love new works. So for you, this is the first time in this show, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how has it been? You're a writer yourself. You write shows. When you're in a show like this, does this spur you to think about, you know, what else you might write about?
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard for me personally to write during, like, while I'm doing a play like this, because in this sort of play you're like always on. You know, it's real time. There's no breaks or anything, so you always have to be present, and it takes a toll. But for sure, like, just listening to the rhythm every night and the dialogue is so good. It's so well written.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun to play with, that, yeah, I don't, even if you weren't a writer, it would inspire you to, you know, go out and find more work like that. So for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And anything contemporary, I mean, you know, anything that has people talking like people talk right now is just such a blessing and a privilege to work on.
You know, I know, and so many actors that come into the studio, and you two fit into the category, I can see, you know, how deep, how intelligent you both are. Are you funny off this, you know, off the stage? How about, is he funny, Amos?
Yeah, he's got a wit that sometimes it comes out when I'm not expecting it. He'll put one on me, and I'll have to catch myself. Like, is he joking right? Oh, he's joking right now. You did it the other night.
I was
really
serious.
I was
trying to do it right now, but obviously I'm not that funny.
So does Amos have the gift of humor?
Yeah, Amos is awesome. He's the whole cat. Everyone's like, I haven't laughed this much in a while. You know what I mean? Like,
Everybody in the cast is we're a bunch of jokesters. We all have a lot of fun.
So as you look out in the audience while you're having a lot of fun, do you see anybody out there that's going like, I don't know if I'm so happy with what they're talking about here. I'm a little more serious about my faith.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely, there was a point on our first preview on Tuesday night during the talk back where there was, you know, somebody brought up something about them being atheist or their daughter being atheist. And I could visibly see in the crowd there was some reactions, strong reactions from older people who were clearly very, you know, very into being Jewish. And there was a moment of tension. So I'm sure there are people that, you know, out there that definitely disagree with certain things in the play, or, but, you know,
And this goes for anything. It goes for any kind of religion, any kind of ethnic background. I mean, when people say, you know, there are drunk people in New York City for St. Patrick's Day, I am not offended as a Doyle. I know that that's the truth.
It is.
It is the truth. How much talk about faith has been going on between the two of you, or maybe the four of you, outside of on stage?
Not a lot. We did have one very interesting conversation on the train one day that mirrored the play in a really funny way, which was really cool and exciting. But other than that, not much of a. We had a little bit of conversations when we first started about where we all come from and where our faith, what our family history is and all that stuff. But other than that, not much.
And it's interesting. All three of the Jewish characters played, or all the actors are Jewish, with the exception of Maddie, who is not. It's very fitting.
How do you take something with you from this show to the next show that you're going to do? Or do you?
I mean, there's certain things in the way he writes. It's very much in the contemporary aspect of how people talk these days. Lots of overlap, lots of interjections. He has an eye for that kind of conversation. And even in long speeches, you know, the breaks in thought that he orchestrates in the writing. It's very valuable as far as, you know, a takeaway from this play. When you read something, whether it's Shakespeare or whether it's, character speaking and monosyllabic dialogue like they do often in this play, how you put meaning behind that.
Do you build, or is everything like a different, a different situation for
you? No, you definitely build. I'll definitely take away just in terms of acting, just everything that Jessica has said. I mean, she's just so right on in terms of comedy. So I'll take all that on, and just that experience of working with her and working with the cast and all that. And then in terms of the writing, just a general appreciation of structure and it's a pretty perfectly structured play, and it's so messy, and like the emotions and the characters are so messy, but it's held together really well with this very traditional structure of a play, where everything at the beginning sets up everything at the end, and it's
a big, beautiful mess.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great – yeah, exactly.
Described as a pressure cooker situation. Is that a good way to call Bad Jews?
That's perfect. Yeah. I would say that's perfect.
And comedy is very difficult. So would you say that – I'd like to just reach out on that for a moment. Comedy is a very difficult thing to pull off. Do you two have a favorite comedian?
Oh.
I just watched the two Dave Chappelle
specials
on Netflix, I was laughing quite a bit.
I do love Dave Chappelle. I also love Louis C.K.
Yeah.
He has a really good way of writing a fine line of things that are completely unspeakable in normal life, but somehow he manages to find some kind of humor in something that is very... very depraved and taboo, but Dave Chappelle is another favorite of mine. Comedy's interesting. It's a fine line in terms of like going back to rhythm, and this is what Jessica is so good at, finding the rhythm and hitting things, undercutting punchlines, or in the case of this show, playing behavior rather than playing like the yucks, and how it works in different environments. It's very, you have to be careful, because a little bit too much can be way too much. But yeah, she's been great about keeping us in line with that, or guiding us.
Last question, I promise, is, have you had to have a conversation? You both mentioned that you're Jewish. Have you had to have a conversation with your family about being in this show?
No, they actually saw it when it was at the Roundabout, so they know what they're in for, and they know they know where I stand in terms of my Judaism. So I think they're all good.
My parents have no idea what this show is about, but they will find out on Saturday.
And we will find out, too. Bad Jews runs through April 9th at the George Street Playhouse, and we've been thrilled to have both Alex Silberblatt and Amos Vanderpoel, the stars playing brothers, the brothers Haber, you could say, in Bad Jews at GSP in New Brunswick. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's been great.